recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win. Like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right here on Sports Grid on this Monday morning. I am Kevin Walsh, joined, of course, by Donnie Wrightside. Before we transition over to the NBA, a lot of big stuff to get to as far as the NBA landscape, the debut of James Harden in Philadelphia, updates around all three stars for the Brooklyn Nets, the Lakers. I'm going to do everything I can to not talk about that team, that game, or anything going on around them. I just think it'd be better for all involved, but the NFL, DRS. I wanted to get the NFL in the mix here just a little bit. Firstly, because a story that we have been following and wondering about of whether or not Sean McVay would end up with Amazon or Fox or any of these other networks here to call games as opposed to be the coach for the Los Angeles Rams. That has been put to rest, reported over the weekend that Sean McVay is committed to the Los Angeles Rams this season. It did feel like this was the direction this was going, but has to be nice for all those Rams fans and everybody in the organization to know that McVay will be back.
Yeah, and how about if we were talking about the the post-Super Bowl, whatever they call it, the one-mile parade, which, you know, had a couple of people lined on the streets. You can't be Sean McVay having a couple brews with the boys, having a couple cocktails, and, you know, Matthew Stafford having a good time and screaming, "Run it back," when everybody says they will run it back, but you don't run it back and run into Amazon or Fox or ESPN and take that $15 to $20 million paycheck. It was only right, and I thought it was, you know, the terminology, like, too much too soon, right? I couldn't imagine him at his age, 35, 36 years old, hanging it up already as an NFL coach with a really good franchise, with an owner that wants to spend money and a very good football team around them. I just think he's going to give it at least a couple more years at this point. But money talks here, and that's what it's about. And sometimes these companies that come in and want to make a splash, like, hey, we get Sean McVay, we're going to pull eyeballs here over to Amazon. How about 5 years, $100 million to work roughly a few days a week during the football season and spend your offseason at home with your wife, with your kids, with your dog, and just having fun, making more money than you did while you're working roughly 50 weeks a year, 24 hours, it seems like, around the clock. I'm happy he's staying because it's better for football. We want to see the Rams make a run maybe to another championship next year, but also just keeping good football teams and coaches in the game makes some sense. I'm glad he didn't actually leave at this point here. He will in the future, but it's good he's running it back.
I agree. But also, Donnie, I'm not sure now if this is going to be a continued question around Sean McVay. Right? Jim Harbaugh, is this guy going to take the move? Is he going to leave Michigan? Is he going to find his way back to the NFL, right? That'll be a consistent question because there's always, you know, NFL job openings up. But to make the comparison to the college landscape that we just saw, a lot of huge programs, right, all of a sudden had some availability. Notre Dame, USC, Oklahoma, and those spots were filled. It's not every, you know, college coaching cycle that, you know, power elite programs are looking for a brand new head coach. It's not yearly, Donnie, that every single major network is looking for a new lead NFL analyst. That's not how this works. If everything works out, you know, if Troy Aikman lands at ESPN, that's where Aikman will be for a decade. Whomever is going to Amazon, if they get that right, that is who will be there for a decade plus. There's talks, I believe, about, you know, Greg Olsen, right? You know, landing with Fox possibly in the big chair over there. People really seem to like Greg Olsen as a broadcaster. The reason I bring all of that up is there's a chance that the Rams have weathered the storm here. There's a chance that we don't see Sean McVay's name being tossed around in the will he, you know, now be calling games on Amazon discussion for a good while, and that's a big boost for the Los Angeles Rams. One team took a hit this week, but first we make sure that the radio audience feels welcomed as you're here with us on a Monday morning. I know you prefer Donnie to welcome you in. I get that. Mm-hmm. You settle for me on a
social
Monday.
Media
maybe
read?
Donnie will... Yeah. Right now, hey, follow us on Twitter at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. Follow Donnie at RightsideVP. Follow me at TheKevinWalsh. Also a survey, survey.sportsgrid.com. Let Donnie know how tremendous of a job he's doing because he's doing a bang-up job. Also, follow at SportsRage. Gabe, crushing it. At Cam Stewart Live. We love the GTT group. We love Ben Scott Stevens. That's his handle. At Ben Scott Stevens. Who else is doing a great job? At Carver High. At Pharrell Coast to Coast. Who else? On Air Mafia. Who am I missing, Don? Who else is doing a bang-up job? At Spittin' Speeds. At Go Ooh. For the Two. Joe Lisi.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you want to get on the grid, you get on the grid, man.
Now, look, you didn't need all those guys. I was hoping you just said my read here at this point. Don't give anybody else any shine on my show here, Kevin. And I say my show, technically, right?
Yeah, technically, as you are on it, certainly, though, not your show. I'm pretty sure if I was not here, you'd show up with a microphone and I'll figure it out.
Oh, man.
I mean, you guys don't know. Like, I once took it off, Donnie, and the whole rundown just wrote, "We will fill it." That's what he wrote for the entire rundown, man.
Yep. Just all they say is give me the ball and let me spin. That's it, man. Just give me the ball and let me spin on this thing.
Man, one guy who doesn't want the ball, Donnie, Ali Marpet hangs it up.
No.
Is this the nightmare of bringing Brady in? That if he leaves, everybody goes, man, I don't want to be here. And everyone just bounces.
And this guy's 28 years old and at the height of his game could probably make another $75 million in the NFL, and he's walking away. And that's a sign of the times, Kevin. And I say walking away. These guys want to walk away from the game when they want to walk away from the game. And kudos to him. But certainly that doesn't make any Bucs backers feel any better about the situation for sure.
Does Deshaun Watson now want to go elsewhere? Does Russell Wilson prefer to be in a Birds uniform? These are the questions people are asking. We talk NBA.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line. Legitimately, the deep breath that I just took as I was continuing to look at James Harden's stats his first two games with the Sixers. The numbers are just ridiculous. Like, he couldn't have been any better to open up his Sixer career. You take a look at what he brought to the table on the Friday game against Minnesota. 27 points, 12 dimes, 8 boards, and a ridiculous plus 35 in 35 minutes of work. And then he follows that up at Madison Square Garden with 29 points, 16 assists, 10 rebounds, 5 steals, and a plus 19. And continuing as well, Donnie, to be tremendously efficient from the floor as well. Harden in Philly has been an absolute dream to start out.
We talked about matches and matchups and what makes sense here. And the reason why James Harden was such a perfect fit for Philadelphia because of how well he can work off of Joel Embiid, that's going to space the entire floor. And now you're seeing it. And this isn't even because you have 20 games, let's just say, outside of the All-Star break. You know, 23, 24, depending on which team you have. But let's just call it 20. And you said to yourself, well, he's got to get involved in this team. He's got to work through some kinks out here. He's going to have to get some playing time. There's going to be growing pains, which was very interesting to see on Friday night. We say, okay, James Harden's first game. Was he really injured in the past couple weeks, you know, with the hamstring? Was he going to play 25 minutes? Was he going to be limited to 20 while he's coming back through like Klay Thompson was doing out for the Golden State Warriors? No, he went and played 30-plus minutes right away, and they blew the Timberwolves out. Just, okay, things went really well game one. But now you're going to have to play on relatively short notice on the road on an afternoon game on Sunday afternoon to go up against the Knicks. The Knicks aren't a very good ball club. It's still a tough environment to play in. And he looked every bit as good again. And you're saying to yourself, look at James Harden, because the joke's at that, oh, he's got the fat suit on, and he looks like he must have lost 15 pounds over the last week and a half. He looks sensational and in game shape, and also like he's never missed a beat, like he's been here, as I joked before, for a decade plus playing with Joel Embiid. The sky's the limit for this team. Now, we talk about Joel Embiid and James Harden now, and we'll see where this run ends here in 2022, if it's an Eastern Conference final, if it's, you know, winning a couple playoff series, if it's getting to an NBA championship or even winning an NBA championship. But I hate to say, Kevin, like looking past, because whatever you get out of the season for James Harden, Joel Embiid, while they're both healthy, for me, is gravy. It's what's looking into the future here. If you can get rid of a Tobias Harris and add a third superstar to this team, I think that's the real big deal in 22-23. But for right now, as a Sixer fan, Kevin, living in the Philadelphia area, the phone lines, the radio waves, they are absolutely exploding, and rightfully so. Because I've been a lifelong Sixer fan where, you know, I love the Charles Barkley, Rick Mahorn teams in those late 80s, early 90s. I love the Allen Iverson teams here throughout the, you know, late 90s and into the early 2000s. But I can't remember as much fun watching two basketball games that I've had over the past 20 years, and I'm here for it.
It is nice to hear the long-term optimistic view from a 76er fan. But, Donnie, this is a championship or bust team. I get it. Yeah, they've only played two games together. Maybe they can improve the roster. That's fine, Donnie. This team is not going to be able to or allowed to lose in the second round of the postseason. Hey, man, you're one of them beating Harden. We had a lot of fun. We'll get after it next year. DRS, Harden, first of all, forgot to opt in. I know he's coming back, but you don't love that. And more important than anything else, this has been Joel Embiid's best year of his career, and it's quite frankly not been close, because this has really been Joel Embiid's healthiest season of his career. And the only time that Embiid missed was actually COVID-related. It wasn't, you know, the tip of Embiid, you know, the foot was messed up or the bat, whatever it might be. Like, he has played for this team, Donnie, 48 of 60 games so far. They have another 22 games left on the schedule, which gives him a chance to get to 70 games played. His career high is 64. He is averaging a career high in points, almost 30 per game. And while I know it was a two-game sample size, Donnie, the first two games, it looked as if they have been playing together for all of eternity. Joel Embiid has been clearly boosted. This is what people were wondering, Donnie. Would he be hurt or boosted by Harden's arrival in the MVP market? The answer is boosted, because shots are easier for him right now, and they're going to win more. 34 points and 37 points in the first two games since James Harden has been a Philadelphia 76er here, Donnie. They're not the favorites in the East at the moment, but I'll tell you this right now. I wouldn't be surprised if they're the favorites in the East when we start the playoffs.
You might be, because you know why, Kevin? They might be the number one overall seed in the East. And how many times have we talked about it? It's a good point you brought up in the MVP, because we didn't know exactly what was going to take place. Is James Harden going to take too much shine here? Is Joel Embiid not going to get a lot of shots because he's going to spread the ball around? It looks like Joel Embiid is even more wide open this time. 37 points here on Sunday afternoon. Dominating performance once again on Friday. But the MVP market, right? So we say the best player on the best team. Well, looks like the 76ers have now a legitimate chance to be the number one overall team in the East. And if he does that, who is actually going to take him away from that award? Because it wasn't as if they were wire to wire, right, Kevin? They started out 13-0, and they were the top seed in the East, and they hung all the way through. No, because now you're looking, when teams get hot in this final 20-game stretch, you're looking at the best players on the court. So we get that bump in the beginning of the year. We talked about Steph Curry knocking down three-pointers, being the all-time leader in three-point shots made. That's great. He got that boost there, but you still had five more months of the season to go. Well, now you're looking at Joel Embiid sitting in the pole position to be the MVP and on a team that might be red hot down the stretch in the regular season. This is really going to help him. But I do agree with your point. You never know when Joel Embiid could go down, because last year, you know, he's still taking his load management, goes into the playoffs, looks like he's going to be dominate himself here, then gets hurt and hurts the meniscus, still played extremely well down the stretch. But when you have James Harden completely healthy, which it looks like he is, Joel Embiid completely healthy, just like he is, you can't say down the line, like, hey, with what I'm doing, wait till next year, which I do agree could be their better team, because they'll get more help and maybe rebuild that bench with a championship bench. But at the same time, you're right. The time is now. They're both healthy now. They're both playing at an MVP level right now, and you do have to capitalize on that.
And as well, you just look at the landscape of the NBA right now. There's an even power distribution across the board. We know that, Donnie, at the NBA at times, a snap of the finger and things can change. LeBron requests out at the end of this year, which could happen, because things right now with the Lakers are just absolutely insane. Who knows where he lands? Who knows what that does to the landscape of this league, right? And things of that nature. So those are the things that you try to keep in mind as it pertains to the Philadelphia 76ers. Let me quickly bring up a point here, Donnie, if I may, on the Phoenix Suns, the Utah Jazz, and the MVP market coming out of that game. Unfortunately, as the Jazz go to Phoenix and win 118-114 and hand the Suns their second loss in a row, Devin Booker's chance at winning an MVP is completely toast, and obviously the Chris Paul injury eliminated him. It is a shame because I really, really believe that if Chris Paul stayed healthy, he was going to be deep into the conversation for the MVP on the strength of a look at our record argument. But what we are seeing here, Donnie, and by the way, Devin Booker has been playing very good basketball in this stretch there. 30 points, 7 dimes, 7 rebounds, was shot, you know, 50% from the field in the game. It's not a slight to Devin Booker, but Chris Paul is their MVP. They need Chris Paul to perform at the level that they were performing at here. Devin Booker had a chance, Donnie, to seize the moment. And if they win at Utah, this gets interesting. But not only did they lose at the Jazz, we saw this team drop a home game to the New Orleans Pelicans here. The Suns are probably still going to be the one seed, but they're not going to have the MVP.
Yeah, exactly. And that's it. That was the going rate, right? If you had a Devin Booker ticket in your pocket, you actually liked the fact that Chris Paul went down, because if he played well and the Suns continued to play well, that would be his boost here. So there's still a lot of things to figure out in the market. But the one thing we know for sure is maybe Chris Paul was the MVP of those Phoenix Suns.
No doubt about it. Also, we did see, just to bring up before we hit the break, we're going to preview the NBA board coming up. A lot to get to with the Brooklyn Nets. The Dallas Mavericks, 107-101 over the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors are now in a weird limbo spot that exists where, do we just wait for Draymond to get back to appropriately evaluate them? I guess so. I don't know what that says about Steph Curry, that this is how this team looks without Draymond Green out there. But I do know this, Luka Doncic on his birthday, which is today, yesterday, 34-11. Could he sneak into this MVP race at the 30-1 price? I certainly think it is possible. More NBA chatter right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
About the updates around the Nets big three. 123-95. The New Orleans Pelicans go to Crypto.com Arena and absolutely smash the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers, coming out of the break, drop both games, the first being at home to the Clippers. They held a late lead but lost the fourth quarter by 9 points, 33-24. The Lakers are now sat right now at 27-33 overall, 2.5 games in front of the 11 spot, aka being outside of the play-in. Listen, as much as I don't want to talk about it, I have plenty to say. But Donnie, I'll let you bat lead off here on the Lakers' current status.
Yeah, not a great look last night. Now, we have to remember also, you know, Lakers still playing without Anthony Davis. I get it. Would you feel better about this game if it was 123-122, where they lost on a late field goal here by C.J. McCollum, who put them over the top, being the Pelicans? But they got trounced last night at home, and the Lakers always play their home game Sunday night. And I saw yesterday, when I wake up, you know, going over some of the notes and just surfing around Twitter, seeing now the fans are now starting to chirp at the Lakers at home games at Crypto.com Arena. And they should be. Again, this wasn't a close loss to the Pelicans. Like, we'll get them when the AD's back and healthy. We'll be able to get after it. This is a team that shouldn't be losing, let alone losing by over 20 points to a team that's not nearly as talented overall. You're telling me that if C.J. McCollum went to the Lakers, they would have been the best team in the West because obviously that's the difference maker there? No, the Lakers can't lose these games, and you're taking a look. LeBron James, 32.6 rebounds. That's what you're going to get out of 36 minutes out of LeBron. He was a minus 22 in that game. Say, boy, it was probably the worst on the team. That's kind of interesting. No, it wasn't. It was Russell Westbrook's minus 26 on the court, who I was saying over the week, like, hey, you know what? Maybe a pretty good prop bet to look at is Russell Wilson on the game on Friday night. He was bad as well in that game. You can't get around it right now. Russell Westbrook just didn't fit with the Lakers, but also, as we're moving forward, you see the reports coming back. Rich Paul, Clutch Sports, had to go in there and meet with the front office of the Los Angeles Lakers, saying we're not looking for changes in the front office or a coach, and LeBron is committed to staying in Los Angeles. Imagine that. An agent going in saying we're not looking for front office changes or anything to the head coach at this point. The Lakers are a disaster right now, and it could get real ugly here over the next couple weeks.
I am tired of talking about Westbrook actively harming this team by his involvement on the roster. I am tired of talking about what it means if Anthony Davis comes back. It's all been the conversation all year long. I'm tired of even saying, man, look, LeBron's still giving you 30-plus. I don't care at this point. I'm tired of talking about whether Frank Nogel does know what he's doing, doesn't know what he's doing, is a good coach, bad coach somewhere. I don't care about this at this point. The Los Angeles Lakers were down 16 points to the Los Angeles Clippers and had a big-time comeback in the third quarter. All of the momentum and the opportunity to start this all-star break right. The opportunity to take a game off of the Clippers, who you're chasing for the eighth spot, so you're not playing in a single elimination both times you're in the play-in. They couldn't close the door. Carmelo Anthony has no idea what year it is with that absolutely unforgivable shot that he took at the end of that basketball game. And the Lakers take a crushing defeat. And what this team does is almost impossible to imagine. But a group that is fighting for their lives here off a crushing loss hand waves a basketball game entirely. Not an ounce of effort or care in the world, and it starts from the top down, which means it starts with LeBron James. I said they had a chance to be favored in 7 of their first 8 games coming out of the break, but some of those would really, really depend on how they performed in these first 2. They're going to be favored against Dallas. They're going to be catching 5, and you probably should lay the 5 and lay an alt line of 10.5 as well, because the Lakers seemingly don't care. And by the way, I've seen this from LeBron. Occasionally, he just doesn't care, because now he has to go out there and tell the Lakers, don't worry, man, I'm going to stay, which, by the way, is a lie. He's doing that so they trade the 2027 and the 2029 draft picks to ensure that they get him help for the offseason, because I don't think he's going to request a trade. But he is if the Lakers do nothing. So he's trying to give them a bit of confidence that he'll stick around. But the fact that in February or March, we're talking about the Lakers' offseason plans is the perfect way to describe what an absolute unmitigated disaster this all is. The fact that people are saying they're not going to make the play-in, and I can't come on here and call all of those people jabrons and have to say, yeah, maybe not, is insanity. It is ridiculous that this is where we are with this basketball team here. If they do get to the play-in, will they be favored if they're healthy? I think so. Do I think that any one seed would be delighted to play LeBron and Anthony Davis? No, I don't. But do I right now look at the Los Angeles Lakers as a legitimate threat to win the NBA championship? I don't, Donnie. And the reality of LeBron's entire career is if he's on the court, they're a title contender. And this absolute abomination of a roster has changed that, despite the fact that he's averaging more points per game since his first stint in Cleveland. Russell Westbrook should even make the Hall of Fame off this trash. I can't believe how garbage this team is. Carmelo should be cut tomorrow. Kendrick Nunn's 24, hasn't played a game all year long. Who is out there fixing these players? Talen Horton-Tucker is getting worse every game. I beat him in a three-point shootout. Dwight comes in occasionally and tries to save the day. Trevor Ariza's washed. This is unimaginable. And Frank Vogel's like, yeah, we got to figure out the roster, figure out the rotations. It's March! What have you not figured out? Stop playing Avery Bradley. It's trash. It's garbage. They should fire Pelinka. You don't know what – if LeBron walks in and says do this and then you think it's a bad idea, then don't do it. And if LeBron walks in and says trade, you don't all of a sudden get to play GM. Do you make decisions or not? It's a disgrace to watch this basketball team.
But did LeBron James pick this basketball team here? Who did say – what, he didn't pick Austin Reeves to be the starting shooting guard in the game last night? Russell Westbrook coming over completely broken down from what he was before? Look at that. Look at the starting line. We talk about the Nets starting lineup, right? We laugh at it. At least they won a game when Kyrie came back. But you take a look at this. James, Ariza, Howard, Westbrook, and Reeves. That is the Lakers starting five right now when they are fighting for their lives to stay in these playing games. It's not going to get any better. You're hoping you know, you're getting some help back for Anthony Davis sooner than later at this point. But this is what LeBron wanted. This is his team. And it was funny at the All-Star break, Kevin, we were talking about LeBron James saying, hey, man, Sam Presti's best GM I ever saw. Boy, these other teams are all getting it right, throwing flames at the Lakers organization themselves. This will be an interesting offseason for sure coming up. But I think even more interesting, Kevin, as you said, over the next couple weeks here, what happens if this slide continues? What happens if LeBron James, while healthy, can't even make it into the play-in game as a top 10 team, not in the NBA, as a top 10 team in his own conference? I want to get the popcorn out right now for you, K-Dub.
What is Malik Monk doing coming off the bench? He's been like their second-best player all year long. Like, does Frank Vogel put a blindfold on during these games? I mean, it would explain some of the decisions made by this roster. I mean, truly, what are we doing here, man? Also, like, can someone give me an update on Kendrick Nunn? Like, see, please, can someone, like, what, like who is hiding the information on Kendrick? Like, and also, yes, it's very sad that I need an update on Kendrick Nunn, but that's the state of this roster. I just, they're 26-1 to win the West. Who wants a taste? Who? Why? Like, Donnie, if I set the Lakers playoff wins at 1.5, the play-in doesn't count. I set their over-under of postseason victories at 1.5. Would you even think about betting over?
I might think about betting over the 1.5 because you're trying to, you know, look to the future, though, right? You're going to get Anthony Davis back. They're going to be in a playoff. And keep in mind, the playoffs in the NBA first round, they take like 3 months to get through. So when you have an aging roster, you play on a Monday, you might not play again until that Saturday. So there's a chance that they will be able to get two playoff wins. Not rounds, wins, yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Because maybe they won't even make it, though, right? Like, they'll probably play in the 9-10 game. They'll, like, smash a Portland team that accidentally trips and falls into the 10 spot. Then they're going to play the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I don't know, D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Edwards, and Kat will combine to shoot, like, 15 of 17 from three. And the Lakers will lose by about 30 points. But you'll have a piece of the over, so it won't be such a nightmare. I knew I didn't want it. I'm bothered now.
Yeah.
The Nets won the other day. I don't know, DRS. What do you want, man? What do you want from me?
Team total. That's a tough weekend here for the team total underbackers there for the Brooklyn Nets at this point here as they get the boys back there. The basement mafia is certainly not having a lot of fun there watching the Lakers last night on a Sunday evening. But this is good. We talk about the NFL, Kevin, gives us a lot of fodder to talk about in the offseason. We're already talking about NBA offseason basketball, and we didn't even start the playoffs yet. Ooh, I love the NBA.
Yeah. No, so that's because sometimes the NBA's offseason is more important than the regular season, despite the fact that we're in the heart of the regular season. Look, we'll come back. We'll hit the Nets. We'll preview the NBA board a little bit. We'll sneak some college in the mix as well. As far as that Nets victory versus the Milwaukee Bucks, there's no other way to describe it than an absolute nightmare on an under 44.5. Of all of the games on the schedule, the one I might have been the most confident about is a trip to Milwaukee, Milwaukee's first game post-break. Who gets the slander machine? A lot of guys shot really well. They just didn't defend at all. And Andre Drummond's out there giving business. That's pathetic. I'll tell you this. You remove the Lakers from the playoffs, that's a lot of time for me to slander. So I'll start loading the machine up, and we'll figure it out. Be right back. I need a break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Nets Raptors is where we will begin our NBA preview. But first, Donnie, an update around all three of the big three for the Brooklyn Nets. Kevin Durant expected back sometime next week. Ben Simmons with a setback as he tried to ramp up to return to the Brooklyn Nets with a lower back injury. Kyrie Irving is now allowed to sit in the stands and watch Brooklyn Net games, but because of the mask mandate still not really applying to private sectors, something along those lines, he still cannot play at home. My question to you, Donnie, of those three updates, Durant, Kyrie, and Simmons, which is the most important?
Yeah, Durant's the most important one because when you get him back, it almost is like it usually gives you that LeBron effect. Like it's not supposed to matter who else is around you. He's enough to win the basketball game himself. So I do like that. But also you are right around the corner here from the Nets actually getting some of these mandates changed so Kyrie Irving can play in the playoffs. Remember the joke that we were circulating around over the first half of the NBA season? Hey, maybe Brooklyn wants the tank to make sure they don't have a top seed high enough to get them home court advantage. It was hilarious when you thought about it, but the more you break it down, the more it actually made sense. Yes, I want more games with my good players on the court than not, but it doesn't seem like that's going to be the picture. So, and another part of this, maybe Kyrie and Ben can hang out and dap it up on the sideline during Nets home games here over the next couple weeks. Maybe that'll help Ben get his mind back on basketball, back on the court.
For me, I thought the Ben Simmons one was the most important. While I think that Durant coming back is a little bit sooner than expected, and while I think that the Kyrie update is just kind of a lot,
I got a question for
digest there. Let me finish. I'll do the Ben Simmons thing, and then you can.
Yeah, go ahead. Yep. Go ahead.
Yeah. Here, the reason that I think that this is important is the Brooklyn Nets need Ben Simmons to win a championship, and Ben Simmons has not played basketball since last June, and. Again, sometimes players can hit the ground running. I understand all of that the way Harden has in Philadelphia. But I'd rather get some runway together than not. And again, more importantly, Ben Simmons is going to be this team's best defender, point blank period, no doubt about it. If you're matched up with the Chicago Bulls in the first round, Ben Simmons is going to draw that DeMar DeRozan assignment. If you're matched up with the Miami Heat, Ben Simmons is going to draw that Jimmy Butler assignment and could switch on to, say, you know, a Bam Adebayo if all of a sudden he was out there getting busy. You need to be able to have Ben Simmons on the court, Donnie. And if his debut is in April, I think that's a big sign of concern. And it feels like we're trending closer towards April than the ludicrous idea that this dude was going to debut in Philadelphia.
All right, let's see. Yeah, exactly. That's where we're going to get down to the crux of the argument here, because we're hearing about Ben Simmons. Like, why isn't he back yet? Why isn't he back here? Is he diabolical enough to say, you know what? I need to say my back is flaring up now, so no matter what happens, I won't be ready for the March 10th game return to the city of brotherly love? Because I guess, is it a worse look at this? Ben Simmons comes back this week, plays a couple games, but then dips out on the Philadelphia game when they have to act the Brooklyn Nets take on the Sixers in Philadelphia? Or is it a better look for him that he just waits it out and they say, ah, he can't, like James Harden, hamstring injury, this guy's back flared up, so he's not ready to play yet. Could he be that diabolical to say, I need to blame this on an injury so I don't take the shrapnel when we head back to Philadelphia and I'm not on the sideline? Because also keep in mind, you know what the interesting part about this is? In like the NFL, when you take a look, you know, injured players technically don't go on road trips or road games. Ben Simmons has been with the Brooklyn Nets on the road here. So the reason I'm bringing this up here is he thinking ahead to, well, I don't want to play. But would it be just as worse if he's just sitting on the sideline? Because you know the cameras are going to find him. And the people that are at the game, they know he's there. And the chants will rain down mercilessly the entire game. I want to see if he actually shows up in Philadelphia for that game.
Yeah, no, so to me, if I'm Simmons, I'm only in the building if I'm playing. You don't, like, because, again, like, to be honest with you, Donnie, because I know that a lot of the Sixers fans are out for blood, I'm not giving you that for me to sit there on the bench. No, you don't get that. So I'm only showing up if I'm going to play. Do I think, and here's the one thing, Donnie, I actually think that Ben is just ready to play ball because I think he's excited to be in Brooklyn. I really do. It's funny because if that Philly game was March 21st, right? March 23rd, and somehow we found he's like, yeah, his return date's March 25th. It's like, all right, here. Like, March 10th, Donnie, I'm not surprised that he's not ready by then, to be honest with you there. Let's hit a little NBA preview, though, DRS. Yep. They're going to play Toronto tonight as a 3.5-point dog. The total for this one is 220. This is the version of a Brooklyn team that lost by 100 points, I think it was. Was it 100 points to the Boston Celtics that first game back? They lost by 23. At the end of the day, this Brooklyn team, Donnie, that doesn't have Kyrie, Ben, or Durant, it feels like a group at home. You have to be fading here. What do you think about their matchup with the Raptors?
Yeah, an ultimate fade. And they're going to continue to be a fade because, again, you look at the anticipated starting lineup and it's terrible. And also when you're taking a look here, which kindly I got off the Patty Mills bandwagon just in time and switched over to Seth Curry because he's actually been doing a yeoman's job here in the starting lineup. So you can look at Patty Mills after the All-Star break, Kevin. How about a nice robust 1 point over 28 minutes? And then the following game follows it up with another robust 1 point here. No idea what happened to Patty Mills, who was routinely in those teens and saying, hey, if he's wide open from three-point range, he's going to be able to knock those down. He's not even shooting from volume. He's not making anything at this point. So my thought process will be the same. If I see a line that's 3 or 3.5 here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, there's no way I'm thinking quote-unquote contrarian value on the Brooklyn Nets, as their lineup will be Mills, Curry, Brown, Johnson, and Drummond. I can't back that team at any price, Kevin.
No, I totally agree. The one thing, though, Don, in Toronto, two games post-All-Star break, lost by 32, lost by 27.
Yeah.
But the Raptors here have obviously been bleeding points. You look at the Brooklyn Nets, this team has played over in 7 of their last 8 games, 4 consecutive, both since the break. They've allowed 120-plus in their two games post-break here. I think that total at 219.5 now, as it's moving a little bit towards the over, certainly can line up. Another game I wanted to bring up, DRS, is Heat-Bulls. This is a game between two of the best teams, certainly in the Eastern Conference. DeMar DeRozan's 35-plus streak snap. Still was able to put up 31 on the board versus the Memphis Grizzlies. He was ejected, but that didn't make the difference. It was with minimal time left. The efficiency, you know, for the first time in this run, Donnie dropped off as he was only went out there and gave you 10 of 29 shooting. But Miami right now, favored to win the basketball game. DeMar DeRozan, a 30.5 spot there for a points prop. What are you thinking for Heat Bulls?
Yeah, and actually, you know, I like the Bulls. I have a ticket for them just to make the playoffs. That's going to cash fairly easily. But this is a really good basketball game overall. Just looking at the starting lineups, everybody healthy and ready to go. But more importantly, might be one of those little caveats, because usually we say, okay, what do the starting lineups look like and how they're going to perform? Because typically the better players are in the starting lineup. The reason I'm talking about starting lineups and bench is Tyler Hero. You know, down for a couple games, comes back, Kevin, doesn't miss a beat. 30 minutes and 33 minutes, 25 points and 27 points. It's one of those luxuries that you have that not very many teams have, where you're saying, I have a bench guy who should be a legitimate starter playing at a high level in the NBA. So if I need extra minutes and Duncan Robinson needs a break, or Jimmy Butler needs a break, or, you know, things aren't working, I bring in Tyler Hero. It's like a microwave, instant food and instant heat out there to get cooking. I like him tonight. I'm going to take the Miami Heat. If they're laying under 5 by the time game time, I think it's a smart move here. Love the Bulls. Think they'll compete. But to me, the Heat are the better team when they're at full strength, and they should be tonight.
Nikola Vucevic banged up a little bit, Donnie, at the end of that game versus Memphis. If he misses, really going to be interested in the Bam Adebayo props. He went out scored 36 against San Antonio, 16-6 versus the New York Knicks. His points plus rebounds number is 30.5, both over in his two games since the break. There's a lot of good NBA action, but also the College Board has some good stuff as well. And I definitely want to give us an opportunity to talk Texas Baylor here in the Big 12. Two top 20 teams in the country set to face off. That new AP poll hasn't been released, but I think both teams certainly will be able to be maintaining their top 20 status, especially Baylor with that win versus Kansas. And it's the Baylor Bears, DRS, that are favored in this game. I'm not going to necessarily say I'm surprised by that, but I wouldn't have been surprised if Texas was favored in the game. It's a very, very short line, though. We're talking about a 1-point spread. Money line is palatable at a minus 118 total here, mid-130s, 134.5. What do you think about this Big 12 matchup?
Yeah, it's one of those where you had an emotional win for Baylor over the weekend, come back against Kansas. Now you got to play Texas on a quick turnaround. The Battle of Texas, per se. You know, there's very few advantages that you have when you're pitting two good teams against each other. And maybe Baylor, you think, is rounding into form. Winners of 5 of 6. Also, Texas has won 3 of 4. But you're looking at conference play, 12-4 overall for Baylor and 10-6 here for Texas. two things that make some sense here if you're looking to bet either way, because, again, we're listening to a FanDuel Sportsbook line of minus one, so two even teams matching up here. Texas, last in-conference play, Kevin, at fouling, which means if you can drive the rack and get to the foul line, you could put a couple more points there that you normally don't. But the problem here is Baylor's offense, Kevin, 7 out of 10 teams here in the conference at getting to the free throw line. So it's not one of those teams that takes advantage of and says, hey, they get to the free throw line just about as more as anybody else in conference play. They don't. But also take a look where styles make fights here. Baylor's defense gives up a lot of points inside the arc. They're a very good defensive team overall, but second in conference play, giving up those points. But Texas, as we just said, Baylor doesn't really might not be able to take advantage of getting to the free throw line against Texas. Same thing here. Eighth inside the arc at scoring. So you're looking at two teams evenly matched as a minus one. One of those games, Kevin, I like to say, I won't be betting it, but I will be watching it.
This is also a big, big game, though, if we're taking a look at the odds right now. Or we don't have odds to win the Big 12 regular season, but with that split, Baylor kept themselves alive to catch Kansas. Kansas right now has a 12-3 record inside Big 12 play, and Baylor has that 12-4 record. Kansas has three games remaining, two against TCU, and then they'll also be playing Texas in their final game. For Baylor, just the two left here at Texas, home versus Iowa State. If you're Baylor, if you get this job done, you'll be possibly a double-digit favorite against the Cyclones in that final game of the regular season, but it's an absolute must-win if you want to keep yourselves alive to win a part of that Big 12 regular season crown. Donnie, there were a couple of other games that seemed worth mentioning there. Tech, Kansas State, Iowa Northwestern, or UNC Syracuse. You tell me, of that group there, which game was the most eye-catching?
I got to tell you, there's two of them. Not so much from an actual, you know, side perspective, but team totals here. We take a look about Syracuse UNC quickly. You know, UNC, and again, we're talking Duke UNC usually control the ACC. Even though Duke is in first place here, and UNC is like, oh, remember the game? Oh, Pittsburgh blew out UNC. What's wrong with them? They stink this year. They don't stink this year. And they play with good tempo, so we should get points. But at the same time, Syracuse has been a lowly team over the past couple of days. You know, maybe they could have made a push towards March Madness. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. But that doesn't mean you could still find value in some things. Do I think they win the game tonight? No, I don't. But just take a look here. You know, Syracuse, we always talk about them on the defensive end where if you can shoot over that zone, you can beat them up. Same way I had Notre Dame a couple days ago saying, hey, Notre Dame loves a three-point shot. Syracuse will let you shoot those threes. They're catching 7.5 tonight, but I'm not looking at that. They're midway in that conference, Kevin, at shooting the three-point shot. ACC shoots a lot of threes. So they're six overall at volume. But the reason I bring this up is UNC's defense, eighth overall at letting you shoot the three, but 11th overall at defending the three. So if you have a team that loves to make three-point shots, and you have a team that doesn't defend it all that well, I think Syracuse's team total might be worth a look tonight in this game. They don't have to win. They just have to score some points, and that's the way I'm looking here.
That low marker, I see how that at times catches the eye. Also, just quickly, lastly, in the NBA to mention, Milwaukee will host the Hornets. Hornets on the second leg of a back-to-back. 8-3 to the over, the Hornets, when they're on the second leg of a back-to-back. And they've only covered three of those 11 games. Could be a spot where we see Milwaukee's offense go off. And I know it's a lot of points, but they might really, really run it up tonight against the Hornets. Listen up. Next, closing out the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last segment of the day right here for the early line on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM channel 159. Both myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh, as always, carrying you through from 7 to 9 a.m. before we hand it over to the morning after and Ben Stevens. And I told you guys, baseball is always going to be on my mind till we get some movement here. So it's Monday, it's Major League Baseball, and you need to listen up. It's my personal crusade here, and I know people say baseball might be a dying sport here in America. I don't think so. I love baseball. I love to watch it. I love to handicap it, and it carries. It's a rite of passage. It's spring into summer, into football season. It carries us through so many things in those dog days of August. But now it seems like right now we have the dog days of the actual bargaining agreements here. Major League Baseball and the Players Association are going to meet for an eighth consecutive day. What they're doing between the, in those last 8 days, I have no idea here, because as I read right now, the sides remain far apart on many items, including minimum salaries, the competitive balance tax, Super 2 expansion, revenue sharing, an expanded postseason, and new pre-arbitration bonus pool. Sounds like they ain't doing anything in these negotiations right now. How can you have so many things still on the table when you've been locked out for 80 days and all you should be doing is negotiating? And now they say where the rubber meets the road, because you remember the deadline? And the reason why I'm talking about Major League Baseball today is because the simple fact is they're supposed to cancel starting regular season games once today if we don't have an impasse and they can get through. So basically that means they have to come to an agreement on 10 different things today or else we're losing regular season baseball in April. Is there a chance that they could come to the table today and make these agreements and make a lot of progress? Sure there is, but I'm not betting on it. They had 80 days to come to some agreements and get through some of these, you know, arguments that they're having between each side. And if you're having a luxury tax here, you can't move up $1 million when you're $30 million apart and say you're making progress. Make some progress, Major League Baseball. Don't do this to yourself once again. We need April baseball to be around once the Final Four and NCAA championship is here. But you know who's going to be around next? Ben Stevens in the morning after. And yes, it's Monday. 1 hour of DRS coming up. You can't beat that. Thank you.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.